Okay, so this week's Parsha is Parshas Toldos. And I always like to say that this is the most essential Parsha to understand, to truly understand Jewish history. Obviously, Klal Yisrael, we've been a tormented nation, and we've faced annihilation and destruction and harassment, and all of that really is born out of this week's Parsha. So let us begin. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Dav Yud Amud Aleph tells us about an exchange between Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu. Chizkiyahu had felt that Yeshayahu should come and visit him, and Yeshayahu felt that Chizkiyahu should visit him, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu interceded and said that he is going to create a situation where Yeshayahu will visit Chizkiyahu. Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Hevi Yisurim al Chizkiyahu. He brought Yisurim, he brought suffering upon Chizkiyahu. Va'amr lo Yeshayahu, he said to Yeshayahu the prophet, Lech uvaker es hacholet, go and visit the cholet, the sick one. As it says, Shenemar bayomim ahim cholet Chizkiyahu lamus, Vayavo elav Yeshayahu ben Amoz hanavi vayomer elav. So it happened that Chizkiyahu got ill, about to die, and Yeshayahu, the son of Amoz, came to him and says to him, Ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, Tzav lebeisecha, go and command your beisecha, your household, kimeis ata, for you are dying, velosichya, and you will not live. The Gemara asks, what does that mean? It seems extraneous. My kimeis ata velosichya. Obviously, if he's dying, he's not going to live. So the Gemara continues and explains, Meis ata ba'olam hazeh, you are dying, refers to olam hazeh, this world, velosichya, and you will not live in olam haba. Upon hearing this nevuah, this prophecy, Chizkiyahu asks Yoshiyahu, Amar le, my kulei hai, why do I deserve such a punishment? Amar le, Yeshayahu says to Chizkiyahu, Mishum delo asakta b'piria v'ribya, because you did not engage in the very sacred, holy mitzvah of having children, of multiplying. Amar le, Chizkiyahu says to Yoshiyahu, Mishum dechazoi li beruach hakodesh, because I see in Ruach HaKodesh, with Ruach HaKodesh, with Divine Spirit, Denafki minai binin delo malum, because I see that unvirtuous children will come forth for me. Amar le Yeshayahu says, Bahadi kafshe derachmana lamalach, why do you deal with those matters? Those are up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather your responsibility, you are commanded to be mekayim the mitzvah of Pru or Revu. But ultimately speaking, Chizkiyahu didn't want to have children because he saw that there was going to be a Russia that was going to come from him. Menashe was going to come from Chizkiyahu, and therefore, in Chizkiyahu's mind, it was better not to fulfill the mitzvah of Pru Revu than to have a Russia that will be a descendant. Says the Brisker Rav, this is exactly the dialogue that had taken place with Rivka Imenu and the Navi. As the Pasuk tells us, Vayitzratzu Habonim Bekirba, and the Bonim, the children, agitated within her. She didn't know what was going on. When she passed a Beis HaKnesses, she felt kicking. When she passed a Beis Akum, a house of idolatry, she felt kicking. There was something going on that wasn't right. It didn't sit well with her. And ultimately, she went to inquire what's going on. And she was told that what's going on is that she's going to have a tzaddik, the Gadol Hador, the Bachir Sheba Avos, the greatest of the patriarchs, is going to be her child. But she's also going to have the greatest of Rishayim. The most evil child will also come from her. And when she heard the news that she was also going to have a Rasha, she turns to the prophet and says, Im Kain, Lama Ze Anochi, if that's so, if it's true that I'm going to have a Rasha, she was told, she saw through Ruach HaKodesh, the prophet had told her that she's going to have a Rasha. She asked, then why do I need it? I don't want the tzaddik if it means that I'm going to have the Rasha. Just as Chizkiyahu had asked, Lama ze anochi, I don't want to be mekayim the mitzvah of Pur Ravu, because I see that in the future there's going to be a Rasha that's going to come from me. And ultimately he was punished because he was obligated in the mitzvah. Rivka Imenu wasn't even obligated in the mitzvah of Pur Ravu. And therefore she asked, Im Kain, if this is so, that I am going to have a Rasha, Lama Ze Anochi, why do I need to have any of these children at all? Now, based upon the understanding of the Brisker Rav, based upon the way the Brisker Rav understands the question of Im Kain, Lama Ze Anochi, what's the answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to Rivka? How do we understand the answer, the response to her question of why do I need to have children? Vayomer Hashem la. Hashem says to her, Shnei goyim bevitnech. There are two nations in your womb. Ushnei leumim mimi'ayach yiparedu. Two regimes, two strong and mighty nations from your insides. They will be separated. Ul'om mil'om ye'amatz. V'rav yavod so'ir, and the elder shall serve the younger. How does that alleviate her concerns? Essentially, the answer is saying, you have two distinct, different nations. They're going to be separated. But ultimately, the tzaddik will come and overtake the Rasha. That doesn't answer, that doesn't allay her concerns. She doesn't want the tzaddik if it means that she's going to have a Rasha as well. It doesn't make a difference to her if the tzaddik will come and be more powerful and mighty than the Rasha. She doesn't care about who's going to be on top, who's going to be victorious. She doesn't want to have a tzaddik if it means that she's going to have a Rasha. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering her of Im Kain Lama Ze Anochi? I don't want this if it's going to be a Rasha. Hashem says, don't worry, you're going to have a tzaddik and a Rasha, and the Rasha will be subservient to the tzaddik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not interested, I don't want to have a Rasha. What's HaKadosh Baruch Hu responding to Rivka's being adamant that she doesn't want to have a Rasha and a tzaddik, if it means having a Rasha as well? That's our first question. Our second question. The Gemara tells us that Avraham Avinu died when Yaakov and Esav were 15 years old. And Ba'oso Yom, on that day, Esav HaRasha was over five terrible averos, says the Gemara in Baba Basra. He murdered. He was involved in Gili Arayos. And then the Gemara tells us that he was a kofer be'ikr. He didn't believe in Hashem. How is that possible? Asks Reb Aaron Cutler, how is it possible Esav growing up in the house of Avram and Yitzchak? He saw Avram until he was 15 years old. Avram was able to inspire thousands upon thousands of ignorant people to believe in Hashem. How is it possible that Esav was a kofer be'ikr? Yitzchak Avinu was his father. Yitzchak, so pure and holy. Esav witnessed and saw the Hashras Hashchina, saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu in real time. To augment the question, they say about the Vilna Gaon that anyone who saw the Vilna Gaon, it was impossible that they didn't believe in Hashem. The Vilna Gaon was such an amazing, inspiring personality. You saw the Vilna Gaon. You saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, impossible to be a kofer, to deny Hashem's existence. So how much more so if you were able to witness, to see, to experience Avram Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu. It's impossible to be a kofer. And yet that's what the Gemara tells us. The Gemara tells us that Esav HaRasha was a kofer be'ikr. He didn't believe in Hashem. How do we understand that he didn't believe in Hashem? How is it possible that he didn't believe in Hashem? And our third and final question. The Pesukim tell us that until the age of 13, it was very difficult to distinguish between Yaakov and Esav. And then, Vaydelu HaNe'arim. They became bar mitzvah. They became men. Vayihi Esav ish yodea tzayed ish sadeh. And Esav was a man who knew hunting. V'Yaakov ish tam yoshev ohalim. And Yaakov was a pure person who sat in the ohel, the tent of Torah. Reb Eli Baruch Finkel asks a very profound, simple yet profound question. That's the difference between Esav and Yaakov? Is that one was Yodea Ish Tzayid, that one knew how to hunt, and the other one sat in the Beis Medrash? There weren't two more opposite people in the history of the world. They're Shemayim Va'aretz, they're heaven and earth. There aren't two different people. Esav was a murderer. Esav was the epitome of a Rasha. And Yaakov was saintly. Yaakov was holy. There aren't even words to describe the stark difference between Yaakov and Esav. V'chizek kol ahevdel bein Yaakov le'Esav. That's the only difference between Yaakov and Esav. The distinction, the difference between them was like heaven and earth. Yaakov was the choicest of the Avos. Yaakov was the most holy of all of the Avos. And Esav is the paradigm of evil. And yet the Torah just tells us the difference between them is that Esav knew how to hunt, and Yaakov sat in the Beis Medrash. Rabbi Eli Baruch Finkel suggests that if you read the psukim carefully, these words actually tell us how different they really were. After all, the pasuk says that Esav was an ish yodea tzayid. He was a man who knew how to hunt. It doesn't say he was an ish tzayid, a man who hunted. It doesn't say that he actively went to hunt. All it says is that he knew how to hunt. Esav's essence was always in his mind. We know that Esav's head was buried in Maaretz HaMachpelah. He intellectually knew about Yahadus. He knew HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knew how to hunt. But it doesn't say he hunted Bipoel in real time. He didn't keep the mitzvos in real time. Intellectually, he knew the mitzvos. But by Yaakov, it says, Yoshev Ohalim. He sat in the tents. It doesn't say he was a Yodea Sefer. He knew the books. It says, Bipoel, he actively went to learn in the Beis Medrash. And there lies the difference between Esav and Yaakov. That Esav was simply, in theory, theoretically, Yaakov was practically. Yaakov was action. And Esav was only in theory, didn't practice what he knew was true, what he knew was real. He was only a Yodea Ish Tzayid. He knew how to hunt, but not an Ish Tzayid. Yaakov Avinu was a Yoshev Ohalim. Yaakov Avinu was one that actively sat in the tent. It didn't say that he knew the Svarim, but he learnt the Svarim. That is the strongest difference. We as Bnei Yisrael believe that it's not simply good enough to be spiritual, but we have to actively practice our Torah. This is the world of action, the Olam Ha'asiya. To think about doing mitzvos doesn't help, doesn't make it as if we accomplished the mitzvos. In Esav's world, it's all about theory. In Esav's world, the Surgeon General can come and speak about the ill effects of smoking, and yet he can be the greatest smoker. He can speak about how one shouldn't smoke cigarettes because it's hurtful to a person's health, but yet he'll smoke 2 packs a day, and there's no contradiction. In our world, what we know to be right, we have to implement in our daily lives. And that, I believe, is how we understand Esav being a kofer be'ikar. Reb Aaron Kotler asked, how is it possible that Esav HaRasha was a kofer be'ikar? The Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that he was a kofer be'ikar. He denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. So what I want to suggest is that he didn't deny HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence, but he was kofer, he denied the ikar. As the Mishnah in Avos teaches us, in the first chapter, the 17th Mishnah, Shimon beno Omer, Shimon his son said, Kol yomai godalti ben hachachamim, all my day I lived among the chachamim, v'lo matzasi laguf tov b'shtika, and I found that the greatest attribute was silence. Now listen to the next words of the Mishnah. Vilo ha-medrash hu ha-ikar ela ha-maisa. That medrash, that simply learning, studying, is not the ikar, is not the main idea, but rather the maisa. The action is the ikar. Based upon this Mishnah, that is how we understand Esav being a kofer be'ikar. Esav was one who denied the ikar. The ikar in Klal Yisrael, what we believe to be the ikar, the main idea, is the maisa, is the action, is not the theory, is not to only have it in your mind, but to take it from your mind and channel it to action. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter said, the greatest distance is from a person's mind to a person's heart. The greatest distance is taking what we know in theory and bringing it to practice. I saw the most magnificent, magnificent quote from the great and late Reb David Feinstein, who had just passed away, Zecher Tzadik, the Kaddish Levracha. He said something fascinating. He said many, 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 many years ago, there was a person that had come to write an article or to write a book or a story about the great Reb Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal. And Reb David Feinstein said to him, he said, if you're here to write about how brilliant my father was, you're wasting your time. Because that would take maybe a page or two. But if you're here to write a book, a story, about his chesed, about his kindness, his generosity, how he had the entire Klal Yisrael's problems weighing on his shoulders, and yet he had time for everyone, whether big or small, and everything in the middle. Everyone was important to the great Reb Moshe Feinstein. If you're going to write about his chesed, now let's get to work. And then he said something fascinating. He said that if a person learns a sugya in Shas, learns any sugya in Shas, dealing with the most esoteric ideas that aren't practical, if a person is learning that topic, and after he finishes that topic, he doesn't want to just run out and help a fellow Jew. He doesn't want to run out and do a maisa chesed, do a kind deed, give some charity. Then he has to go back and learn that sugya, learn that topic again. Because when we learn Torah, it has to transform who we are. It has to change us. Even if the topic has nothing to do with chesed or tzedakah or ma'asim tovim, it has nothing to do with anything that we practically use on a daily basis. The most esoteric topic. If after we've learned that topic, we don't feel that it has changed us, we don't feel that we want to go out and help a Jew do a ma'asim chesed, do an act of kindness, then we didn't learn the sugya the right way. We have to go back and learn it again. That's the difference between Esav and Yaakov. Because Esav believes you can learn the sugya, and as long as you learn it, that's sufficient enough. And it doesn't make a difference what happens when you leave the Beis Medrash. You can be the most horrible, despicable person. It doesn't make a difference. Yaakov, that's all that matters, is Bepoel. What are we doing with the Torah that we are learning? Asa believes the Medrash is the Iker. The we believe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes, Chazal believe, our Gedolim believe, that the Midrash is not the Iker, but only the Maisa, and Esav was Kofer Be'Iker. He was Kofer that which was important. Our responsibility is to be different than Esav. Our outlook on life is different. Our mahus, our essence, is different. We don't view the world the same way. We don't act the same way. But unfortunately, the reality is that we forget that. And we assimilate into Gentile society. And we forget that we're different. We forget that we have a different creed, a different set of rules. We view the world differently. Our outlook, our hashkafa is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He gave the Haftacha to Avraham Avinu in the Bris Bin Hapsarim, the covenant that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had concretized with Avraham, He said, Kiger Yiyeh Zaracha, that the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was that the children of Avraham will always be Gerim, will always be sojourners, we're never going to be settled, we're always going to be, and we should always be strangers. Be'eretz lo lahem, that is the intent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yaakov Avinu himself said to Paro. Our intent is lagor be'eretz banu, not lihishtokei asham. Our intent is simply to pass through. We don't want to assimilate into your society. We are different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us different. But then what happened? The Avos died. And the Medrash tells us that when Yosef HaTzadik died, Pasku Milimol, the Medrash says that they stopped giving their children Bris Mila. They started to assimilate where there weren't any differences between us. They wanted Niya Kimitzrim. They wanted to be like the Egyptians. And what happened? They turned on us. They hated us. And they persecuted us and subjected us to torture and hardship and difficulty. And that is in every generation. Says the Netziv, Bishah sheYisrael mivakshim lihisare biyoser. At the time that Yisrael intends, yearns to assimilate among the Gentile nations, as umos ha'olam misrachakim mehem, the Gentile nations distance themselves from us. They push us away. And they intend to destroy us, to annihilate us. So ultimately, Rivka Imenu comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Im kein lama ze anochi, if indeed it's true that I'm also going to have a Rasha, I don't even want a Tzaddik. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Rivka Imenu and says, No, Rivka, you don't understand. You have two distinct nations, two regimes, and they're going to be separated. And the might shall pass from one regime to the other. Klal Yisrael will always be the exalted nation. But there's going to be a time, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that B'nai Yisrael, that the Tzaddik, will forget that they're different. And unless there is another nation who is a Russia, they will assimilate into the abyss. The Russia will be there to ensure that the Tzaddik remains an exalted nation. We need the Gentile nations to keep us honest, to remind us that we're different. If not for the Russia, if not for the other nation, we will forget what is the Iker and what is the Tuffle. We will not remember that we don't only practice Yiddishkeit in theory, but it's Lemaisa. Rivka Imenu says, I don't want a tzaddik. If it means a Russia, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you need the Russia to ensure the viability of the tzaddik. So it answers the Briska Rav's question very, very well. Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, ensured Rivka Imenu that it's going to be for the best interest. There might be hardship and difficulty and persecution and annihilation and Holocaust and destruction, but ultimately it's to ensure the viability and the sustainability of a holy nation while they're living in Golus. So we have three questions. Why does the Torah only tell us that the difference between them is that one knew how to hunt and one sat in the Beis Medrash? And the answer that Rabbi Baruch Finkel told us is that that is actually explaining the profound difference between them. That Esav was only a Yodea Tzayid. He knew how to hunt, though Bepoel actively he didn't hunt. Though Yaakov was Yoshev Ohalim, he actively sat in a Beis Medrash. And that's what I suggested was the answer to Rabbi Aaron Cutler's question as to how is it possible that Esav can be a kofer be'ikr. And we explained that what it means to be a kofer be'ikr is not that he didn't believe in God, but that he denied the ikr, that ein hamidrash ha'ikr ela hamaisa, that the ikr, that the main idea in our religion is not simply to be a yodea, but it's to be a yoshev, to actively do mitzvos. But sometimes we forget our way and we think that it's sufficient enough to know the halacha, but not to actively do it, to not give a bris milah. And it's at that moment where we forget what is the ikr, what's the tuffle. Our vision becomes blurred. It's at that moment where we need the Gentile nations to push us away and to remind us that your ikar and our ikar, what you value and what we value, are two totally different ideas.